Oh, hello, everyone. Before we get started with today's episode, I have a special announcement. We are so close to our 350th episode, and in order to celebrate that, we're doing a live episode. That's right. We're doing a live episode recording on Monday, June 10th at 7 p.m. at the Triad Theater here in New York City. Now, if you can't make it out, don't fret. There is a live stream option for you all. We will be discussing the 2007 movie Across the Universe. So again, if you want to come out and celebrate 350 episodes with myself and a panel of friends, we will be at the Triad Theater on Monday, June 10th at 7 p.m. In-person tickets are $15 with a two-drink minimum, and the live stream has a tiered system where there's a $15 and a $20 ticket. For more information or to buy tickets, check out the link in all my socials at ButASongPod. And now, on with today's episode.
Life's but a song, so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today is a guest who, even before we started recording, I said she's winning with these episodes. It's Battles, everyone.
Woo! Oh, jackpot, baby.
Jackpot. But, I mean, like, and you did say you put in the legwork, so... Here we are, reaping the benefits now. Don't worry, it won't be all garbage from here on out.
From Rankin-Bass to Bareilles, we've
to
arrived.
To Sarah Bareilles, you've arrived. Yes, because we're here today to talk about Waitress, the musical, the pro shot from 2023 that was filmed in 2021. Took a little...
Timelines.
Yeah. So the book is by Jesse Nelson, music and lyrics by Sarah Bareilles, as we said, directed by Diane Paulus and Brett Sullivan. Brett, I believe, just did the film portion of the directing. Diane did the stage version, the stage production. And according to IMDb, the hit Broadway musical about a small town pie baker with big dreams gets the silver screen treatment. So have you seen the show before?
Yes. I saw it with my mom with Jesse Mueller.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So quick question. If you remember, because that was a while ago, did they use food? Like in the pro shot, they're using like liquids and sprinkling flour everywhere and sugar. Do you remember if they actually did that?
I want to say yes. I want to say that there was quote unquote live food on stage.
Oh my God, the poor props people. But
oh, I know, right?
I want to know what they're that like, props budget is. All the sugar. Because I was watching it, never saw it before today. Before we started filming, recording, I should say, and seeing them like with the sugar canisters and the cups of coffee it pouring, I'm like, that is a recipe for disaster. No pun intended.
That's messy. That's real, real messy.
And like, there is a moment where they are supposed to spill liquid and they clean it up. But like, I was like, this is because. You and I work in theater. You know what it's like to have food.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's everywhere.
I saw a production of the Scottish play where the weird sisters are like constantly cooking off to the side. And again, like it's stressing me the fuck out. Because it's like, oh, don't spill anything. Don't spill anything.
Look, and like she, Jenna, the character in this, has like two different aprons. She has her baking apron, which is a fuller one, and then her waitress apron. And I was like, my God, that costume has got to be dirty by the end of the show.
Oh my God, truly. I'm sure she has like a stunt apron for the really messy bits.
So this is basically the show then. Like they didn't, the only difference is that they added a live baby at the end.
Yeah, I nearly identical from what I remember.
Cool. Okay, so have you
With
seen
the addition of although never mind, I think that was in subsequent productions where they added the little nod to Nick Cordero, which was really touching, I thought.
Oh yeah, I had to look him up because again, I didn't see this. I didn't see this, so I didn't know who he was. Nick Cordero originated? Do I want to be that bold and say that?
I
No,
don't think he was the first Earl. I think he was like
he was
the
the
second or third.
Broadway, the first Broadway
Okay.
Earl. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. Andy Carl is the one that did the workshop. Joe Tippett, who is in the pro shot, did the American Repertory Theater production of it, which was their out of town production before they moved to Broadway.
Yeah.
And in 2016, it came to Broadway, and it closed months before the shutdown in 2020.
Yeah.
I saw that. I was like, you missed, like you got out before you lost all your money.
Yeah.
I mean,
Fortunate for them.
I understand after watching this why this show is so beloved by many. It
Yeah.
is such a good
It's such a
story.
good show. And I remember when Adrienne Shelley was murdered. Like I remember that distinctly happening and like how terrible I thought that whole situation was. Obviously, like it's unspeakable. And then just loving the movie, just absolutely being obsessed with the movie. So I'm so glad that it's such a faithful adaptation. I think Sarah Bareilles is a genius. So
Oh
yeah, I was
yeah.
so excited to see it.
I didn't realize that she was murdered. I
Yeah.
blacked this out, I guess. Adrienne Shelley is the director of the movie that this is based
Yes.
off of.
And she also played Dawn.
She in the movie?
Yes.
Oh yeah, there she is. Yeah, looking at the cast of the 2007 movie, I'm like, I understand everything now,
Yeah, makes sense.
because even the pomod the pom I'm not gonna say his name right, Pomatter,
Pomander?
Pomatter, yeah, that
I think
it's
it's
a
Pomander, Dr. Pomander.
even he was acting a little like Nathan Fillion in the movie.
Yeah.
Like I never saw the movie, but I can see the Nathan Fillionisms. Yeah.
Fillionist.
Is that why you picked this? Because it's related to Nathan Fillion?
No, I'm not that much of a geek. Actually, I've heard from multiple sources. I'm sure he will never listen to this. No offense, but he's a dick.
Yeah,
Apparently,
I've heard that.
not a very nice guy, which is kind of sad because you'd think like I don't know. I always expect like sci-fi and fantasy actors to be like gracious for some reason. I hear he's just kind of a dick.
So Drew Gehling played Jim Pometer in the pro shot, and there was moments of him that I was like, oh, I understand why you're acting this way now because of Nathan Fillion. Also, another one was Ogie,
Yeah.
like the person who.
Ogie, I think it's Ogie. Ogie?
Augie. I don't understand why it's short for Oklahoma. That's another story. But I know the actor who played him in the original movie was also in the Ocean's movies as the tech guy who always sweat a lot. So I'm like, I get it. I understand this person. However, I'm looking at the notable cast replacements, and that's the role that Todrick Hall played.
I know, right? Crazy.
I'm like, why would you pick this one? Go for Pometer. That's the lead-ish.
Yeah, I would say ostensibly that's the male lead.
Yeah. What I liked about this is that even though Jenna is our main person, there is so much world building.
Yeah.
And like, she is also involved with everyone else, all the
Yeah.
supporting characters. Like, they
And I think
felt
it
like
just shows,
friends.
like, yeah. And I think it serves to just kind of show, despite her being adulterous, which again, I get if you're in an abusive relationship, like, oh my God, get the fuck out. But I think it just shows, like, what a wonderful person she is and how she touches so many people and, to her own detriment and just how worthy she is of love and success. And I think that's done really well. Without it being like a caricature, she's still like very much a real person.
Yes, this to me felt like a Sondheim show where it is a slice of life. Ha ha. But it's a little bit on the fantastical side. Like, you have to heighten it somehow,
Yeah,
but
it's a
it
musical.
also fe yes, but it also feels grounded in reality, the story, where we've
Yeah.
seen this before in other media and in real life, abusive relationships, adultery. I have to talk about one of the songs with I where what's the name of it? When He Sees Me, which is
Oh.
Dawn's first song, I want
Dawn's
to
big, where we see how truly mentally ill this person is, poor
Well, it's
thing.
not that
She
part. I'm not,
struggles. She struggles.
but like, also, it to me, it felt very relatable because I'm assuming that this is not set in 2007, the
No.
show, like the movie, because they're talking about an online profile, and I was like, online dating wasn't really a thing until like the tens, the 2010s, so maybe we're there. But the fact that she's insecure about coming off the wrong way and not finding love, that's to me
Oh, so relatable.
that's what I grasped towards. Yes, there's a little bit of weirdness to her where she played Betsy Ross. And then they bring it back. Oh,
Her husband also is a Civil War reenactor. I thought that was the cutest touch. It
when,
just shows that there's someone for everyone out there.
yeah, and like at first when we meet Ogie or whatever, however you're supposed to pronounce the name, and he says ne he sings "Never Getting Rid of Me," I'm like, do you actually like him, or how, what is go? And then towards the end of the song, I'm like, oh no, you just never been romanced like this, and he is supes awkward.
Yeah.
Christopher
He
Castro.
goes into a little bit of like red flag territory. Like, I'm not going to take no for an
Yeah.
answer. I'm going to sit here until you recognize that I'm
You
trying
may
to make advances.
think I left, but I'm really in the parking lot. Like, come on.
Yeah. Do better, sir. This woman is clearly anxious. Can we just cut her a
Look at her
break?
hair. Look at her hair. Which was interesting watching this because I didn't clock a wig really on any of our main cast. Obviously, the ensemble, because they are playing multiple roles, they probably threw a wig, especially the one that played the nurse. I think that's a wig. I think that's a wig. But like, they used their real hair, which was very, it's interesting to say that because it's never really done on stage anymore.
Yeah, I didn't clock that.
You want to have that perfectly coiffed hair, or messy in a controlled way.
Yeah. No, I remember Jenna's hair being like particularly like beautiful. But Jesse Mule also has like amazing hair.
Right,
You know,
and
Carrie Russell hair.
yeah, and then this Sarah Bareilles has perfect hair as well, and I'm like, well, that I think that's just her hair. I'm liking that Sarah Bareilles is now going into theater.
Yeah, she has the chops to do anything.
Oh
And
yeah, I mean,
I think she's just like so relatable too. Like I remember there was a recent TikTok where she was just like walking through the streets of Brooklyn crying, saying like, "Oh, I feel like I'm getting old." and I'm not like relevant anymore. And I was like, oh, girl, you come here in these arms. Like, you are a treasure and a half. Like, and
you
if you
come
feel
on this
that way, I'm like, my
podcast.
God. Yeah, exactly.
We will love
you know.
You. I personally
yeah, if
don't
you
know
ever
her.
need an ego boost, please come on this podcast.
I personally don't know her music that well, but
oh.
Seeing this, seeing her in the Jesus Christ Superstar Live, seeing
Yeah.
clips of her from Into the Woods, I'm like, you're still cranking it out. And I'm looking forward to like this new chapter of you acting in theater on Broadway and things like that. Cause
yeah.
Get it. I will go see your next show.
No, she has the chops. Like I would gladly see her in almost anything. You know, she's just a delight, and she's such a powerhouse in terms of her voice, her musicality. She's a great actress. She's beautiful. Like what box doesn't she tick?
Right, because like something about singers, like people who musicians, where you're like, maybe you can act, maybe you can, but then there are those that there's like that those group that group of musicians that you're like, oh no, you are an actor as well, like you are.
Yeah.
And then you throw in a dancer, like them dancing, you're like, triple threat, finally.
Yeah. I will say I went to the Hart School of Music with Christine Dwyer, who was also, I think she was on the Broadway tour for most of it. And my God, her version of this role is so good. And my God, can that girl sing? And I think she was also in one of the tours, Mary Magdalene as well. Oh, I could be wrong. But yeah, if you have any time and you want to do a little deep dive, look onto YouTube. I think she did a performance at Broadway Sessions and sang this song, and she's sublime. And then I also knew one of the cows on Broadway, Joe Cassidy, because he married another person I went to school with. So I have two direct connections to the show that I'm super proud of, because both of those people are super, super talented.
What I like, I'm looking at this, the Wikipedia page with the cast and everything. I like that Charity Angel Dawson, who in the pro shot plays Becky, started out as the nurse. So you're like, oh, and I mean, I'm assuming she understudied Becky, because that seems like the simple
logical
tracking of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I'm liking that, like, they brought back people who were part of it at some point, because so the filming of this took place during their limited run. They are actually, I believe, the first show that came back from the pandemic because of this, because
yeah.
of the pro shot, snuck in there before the big three shows. But yeah, so She Used to Be Mine. This is the song from the show.
Yeah.
The one that everyone uses in auditions and things
this
like
is
that.
Your, what is it? The 11 o'clock number.
Yes. Oh, it's 11 o'clock. Fine. Let me sing my heart
out. Let
me
park and bark. Let me fucking park and bark.
Oh my goodness. You know, I'm glad that they answered some of the questions that I had, because watching it, I was like, they have to talk about why everything is a pie. They have to talk about who's fucking, because you can kind of tell, but there's moments where you're like, well, I'm not sure if they're actually, if like Cal and Becky are bickering because that's who they are, or they're fucking.
I love that that's so true in like restaurant life, though. Like, I don't know if you've ever worked in a New York City restaurant, but it is just like, it is it's a big old orgy. Like,
I did not.
Everyone's sleeping with somebody. Like, everyone's breaking up. Like, it's just such a, because you're working such long hours. The stress levels are crazy. You go out, you get fucking rip-roaring drunk. And, you know, one thing often leads to another. And it's just, and so many people just kind of try to keep it under wraps, but you kind of know, you kind of don't. I just think it's like, that's the restaurant scene.
Oh, I like that. Like, the majority of the show is in the restaurant, is in the diner.
Yeah.
The pie shop. What is it? It's a diner, right? It's just a
It's a
diner.
diner, but they're known for their pies.
I also
But it's
enjoyed
just called Joe's, right? I think.
Joe's Pie Shop, because then at the end they change it to
Oh, right. Yeah,
Lulu's
yeah.
Pie Shop, but it's also
Right.
a diner.
Oh, Joe's Pie Diner. That's what it is. It's Joe's
Joe's
Pie
Pie
Diner.
Diner. That's it.
Yes.
I love Joe.
Joe is such, talk about a deus ex machina with a heart of gold, just sweeping in and saving her.
But also,
Bless his
like,
heart.
the moments that he's the crotchety old man at the in the diner,
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you know everything? Like, he's got great attention to detail, because especially in that one moment where he's like, your lipstick smudged and you're having an affair, and I'm like, how do you know this? Oh
Yeah, he's
man.
like the Sherlock Holmes of the town, just like kind of
Yes.
aware of everything all at one time.
Now, did I cry at the end? You bet your ass I did.
Oh my God. So here's a funny story. So we, my mom and I saw this together, and I think we had like a glass of wine before the show. And so like I guess my point is like my emotions were like loose. Like I had a lot of like surface area availability. And we were luscious. So like midway through or during midway through, you know, intermission, midway through the show, we decided to grab like one more wine to take back to our seats. And I'm not exaggerating. I was sobbing at that point so hard still that my mom had to order my wine for me because I could not like catch my breath
At
to
the
pour more.
intermission, you were
Yes,
sobbing.
I was inconsolably crying because I loved it so much. I thought it was so beautiful. I thought it was so heartfelt. And like, you know, right after Bad Idea, and I'm like, oh, he's so sweet. Are there guys like that? Yeah, I know he's cheating on his wife, but he's also such a good person. And she needs this after Earl. Like, it was just. It was a ride. It was a ride.
Oh no, I cried at the very end when she reads the letter from Joe,
Yeah.
and
Oh, there it is. Ooh. I swear I'm gonna cry through this, but there we go.
but what I also liked, and have you seen the original movie? Because I haven't. I had an
Yes. Yeah.
idea to watch it for this and be like, oh, we could kind of talk about it. But I like that, at least in this pro shot. I can't speak for the original movie, that she ends up with no one. Like,
Yeah,
she has to
that's
work on
just,
herself.
yeah. No, and I was going to talk about that too because it's like technically there's a happy ending, but it's not like saccharine sweet. It's like it feels realistic, you know, she shouldn't be in a relationship right after this terrible thing happened. She needs to focus on her daughter and like running a business. And then, you know,
She.
if something comes along later, great. But I just love that there is this such you know, written by a woman too. Like there was originally such a focus put on like her relationships with men, and then ultimately she finds out that she has everything that she needs inside, which is, you know, like a very powerful thing, especially in the American South, where, you know, things are a little bit
Right.
different.
Well, so if Perlmutter, now, so let's speculate. You know, the events of the movie happen. She's, it's a few years later. I'm assuming, like, at the very, very end, it's like at least 5 years later, because the daughter Lulu is now a child, like running and talking and everything. Do you feel like if Perlmutter were single, that they would get together?
I hope not. Oh God, I don't want to say. I always said just once a cheater, always a cheater. But like, you know, he really didn't have a lot to base this like relationship on, other than like a really intense sexual attraction. And I think like, yeah, he's a good guy because he's sweet and complimentary. But like, you know, I don't think he's like unequivocally a good guy. And again,
Right.
I think that she deserves something better. Like, I'm sure that was fun and like a wonderful boon and solace to have in the wake of coming out of this like abusive relationship or reconciling this abusive relationship. But like, Yeah, they say it in the song. It's a bad idea. Like, it's a
Yeah.
very bad idea.
Well, no,
So like,
well, they're also
and
saying
she's
it.
done so, and she's done so much like to move herself along on her own path. Like, I would be sad if she took a step back, because I think that would be, again, like a regression.
I'm just speculating here because I'm always for self-love, you know, like, and obviously they've been in her and Earl have been in a relationship for probably a decade, if
Yeah.
maybe more, because he talks
It
about
feels like they're
how,
like high school sweethearts or something like that.
yeah, and he talks about how he was there when her mom died and everything, and I was like, that, okay, that seems like a lengthy period of time. So obviously she
Yeah.
needs to reevaluate. And what's fascinating about Earl is that he's emotionally abusive, at least in the stage version.
Well, right before she tells him that she's pregnant, doesn't he go to strike her?
He does, but I feel like from what we saw even before that, when he's like, this ain't you ain't in Sara Lee or something like that, I'm like, oh shit, this is more mental, emotional abuse than physical. I mean, I guess, yes, he's about to strike her, but there is no other.
I disagree. I think that's heavily implied. And I think it's a family show, so like it's, you don't need to go that far. But insofar into like the context clues that were given and knowing the movie too, I would think it would be safe to say that there was physical abuse as well.
Ah, again, that's where we differ because I don't really know the source material that well. So it's like me, because at least in the original movie or in a movie, you can do the makeup, you can do makeup
Yeah.
and everything, and then wipe it away because it's the next scene. But in theater,
Right.
it's there,
Right.
and she barely leaves the stage as it is. So.
Yeah, truly. Good God. What a role.
They're like towards the end, after her character gives birth and everything, when they hand her the bottle of water, I was like, oh, that's there because she never leaves
Yeah.
the
Poor thing has to pee so bad by the end of
It's like, get
the
me a porter potty, stage right.
Yeah, exactly.
I
I
get
know
two
for me, like I'm
songs.
such a pro I could pee 8 million times before the curtain goes up, but it is inevitable. The second that it starts to rise, I'm like, well, fuck. Like without question, every single time.
But Earl, what an asshole. Fucking.
If you want the epitome of fragile masculinity, I give you Earl. He's such a little
Yes.
snivelly man who's just like so insecure and so desperate to be loved and cannot deal with his emotions or the fact that he's potentially not the center of attention at any moment that she is his scapegoat for his own inability to literally cope with anything.
Like
I hate him.
some of his lines, I felt like somebody, I hope that they threw up writing them because, like, promise me you won't love this baby but more than
Oh, that one,
me.
yeah, for sure.
You're the only person to have belonged to me. I threw up a little hearing
Yeah.
that. His whole song, I was just like, oh. Literally wrote, he can fuck off. Like,
Yeah. But then again, written in such a way that if you have, granted, that he's a monster, but if you have like any sort of like empathetic proclivity at all, like there is a part of you that should feel sorry for this man because he's so pathetic and broken. You know what I
yeah,
mean? But I
there
think
is some
he's
sort of
really well
layer.
written. Most of these characters are really well written.
Yes. And like I said, yes, this is about her, Jenna, but like there's a lot of importance brought about, especially with a Dawn. Dawn is a character I feel like you could easily brush aside.
Yeah.
Like in any sort of like film, television, stage show, whatever. But they give her so much importance because it's like, no, this is like what Jenna wants, but we're not gonna actually have Jenna say that. We're just gonna represent it, and have the audience subconsciously see that. Like, There
Yeah.
is that,
No,
there is
they
that
kind of like
someone.
have like beautiful parallel stories that are run. You know what I mean? It's
Yes.
like, yeah, like Jenna kind of gets to live vicariously a little bit, but also, you know, in saying like, hey, you know, you're enough. You someone will love you for who you are.
Right.
And then she's like feels so lost to herself. It's, you know, it's kind of like, well, turn the mirror around, girl, you know?
But then with Becky, it's an interesting situation because is it that Becky's husband, does Becky's husband have like some sort of illness?
Gosh, I don't know.
She talks about changing his diaper. And I was like, I don't, there's
I
some
think
things
that's
in
the
this.
case.
There's some things in this that I'm like, I think I need a little bit, like another line or something, a little more information. Because when they start talking about Palmater's wife, I was like, did I miss this?
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
did I miss that you had a wife and you're just now dropping it on me? I mean, I clearly knew he had a wife because I was looking at the IMDb for the movie while watching it at the same time to be like, oh,
Yeah.
this was this care this was played by this person. That makes sense. That tracks
Yeah.
everything. But
No, this
like,
guy's lonely. Like, his no excuse, but like, you know, his wife is never around. She's always at the hospital and he's busy. So it's just really unfortunate that they aren't able to fulfill each other's needs, and obviously they don't communicate
right.
because one of them is just off cheating.
But then you
So that's,
have
yeah.
Becky and Cal, that's his name. Yeah.
Cal, yeah.
Like they're having an affair, but their relationships are different than Jenna's. So you can't be like, you're having an affair too. And it's like, well, yes, but my circumstance is different than your circumstance. It's
Well, I
not
feel like.
all the same. It's not the same playing field, I feel like. That's maybe
Right,
that's
because
what
I
they're
feel
saying.
like Beck. Yeah. I think like Becky and Cal are so much more like, at least with each other, like more open and grounded and communicative. Like they know where they stand. Like there's no like artifice. There's no like, you know, no one's really delusional in this scenario. Their feet are firmly on the ground, and I think that's what separates that particular romance versus some of the others.
Yes, because there's that moment when like the three of them are catching up and you're like, but all your situations are so different. And that's also why I now like this show, I will say, because it's so much realism in this.
Yeah.
Like, yes, they're singing and it's Sarah Bareilles and she's amazing and everything, but like the story is still like, no, you see this every day. Like,
Yeah.
it may not be as prevalent with all your friends are, one of your friends is going with an elf lord and somebody else is cheating on her husband and he's cheating on his wife. But like, it's all relatable. It's all,
Yeah.
love it.
And I mean, that's why I was literally sobbing through this, because it just has, oh my God, here we go. It just has so much
I'm
heart.
so sorry. I didn't mean for you to
No, I was
sob.
like, I'm definitely gonna cry. I'm not gonna talk about Danny Sexbang through this, but I am gonna cry.
You mentioned him. Yes. Bingo.
I was like, I'm probably gonna tear up like three or four times. But no, it's such a beautiful story. It has so much heart. You really feel for every single character, no matter how much you hate their decisions or their actions. I feel like there is a redeemable spark to everybody. And that is so life. Like, even in terrible scenarios, there are people that are just, there are very few people, rather, that are just like pure evil, you know?
Right.
And to show so much humanity through a song where people are a medium where people are fucking singing and dancing, you know, that's wild. That's not easy to do.
So I was confused about something in this, and I hope maybe you read something a little differently in it. When the ensemble is like dancing behind her and she's in her own like a void, or she's baking or something. What are they supposed to represent? Or are they just supposed to be there? Like in the opening when she's making the pie and they're handing her the ingredients and everything. Like, I get that's core, that's stagecraft and everything, but like, are they
Right.
supposed to be snap like the memories with her mom? Are they supposed to be just, you
Oh, I like
know?
that actually. Yeah. I mean, I think it's her inner life. I think they represent her, you know, she has her own Greek chorus through the whole thing.
Ooh, I
And
like
they kind of
that.
add some like visual interest to it. But like, yeah, I think that's kind of you get to see and live. Because you know, on stage, you can only kind of like you're a tiny little speck, depending on your seat. So like, you can only emote so much. So I think that little extra visual kind of like gives her more life on stage,
Because
or in
like,
my estimation.
even during the contraction ballet,
Yes,
not, I didn't name it. That's the name of it.
that
I
is the name of the
promise.
song.
That's the name of this song. It was the choreography in this is so intricate, but it's not like Fosse or any other choreography. It's a lot of like, I'm gonna throw something in the air and you're gonna catch it, and hopefully it's in time. Or like this one, they're not doing like big movement or anything. It's all about the contraction and everything. And earlier in the show, there's like the trio of women in the knocked up club knocked up that have pregnant bellies, but in contraction ballet, it's just her, which is very, the flip flop is very interesting. And I believe it's the same women, like the same ensemble women who are doing that. So cool.
Oh, and I looked up something because it was bugging me. You're absolutely right. So Becky's husband is severely disabled and unable to consent to sex, and Cal's wife is gay. So like
That's right, Ethel. I was
they
hoping we would meet Ethel, and she'd come in and be some like big ol' lesbian. I mean,
Harvey
that's it.
Fierstein plays her. No, I'm kidding.
Well, it's interesting also
Give us a kiss.
at the end of Bad Idea Reprise, when Augie and Don are like being wheeled off stage, they have a pride flag, a pride American flag. I was like, that's interesting that you're
Love is love,
doing
baby.
Love
Love
is
is
Love.
love.
And then you have a whole like scene where you're joking about Ethel. Poor Ethel, but I still want to meet her.
Honestly, I'm sure Ethel's getting hers. If Cal's getting his, Ethel's getting hers.
And like what the weird thing too about this is like if this feels like the small town trope in thing in movies and TV shows where like everyone knows everyone's business, but it's also doesn't at the same time.
Yeah.
Because especially with Joe, where he's talking to her and saying things, talking to Jenna, I should specify, but he's not saying like, oh, I know Earl's an abusive person. Like nobody says, Earl's abusing you. We know this. So
Because you don't
it's
say that, like, you know,
I mean,
that's how
even
these things go.
but it's interesting that there's like that small town mentality, but it's not a small town. I mean, they don't really
Yeah.
specify either where they are. I had to look up too in the 2007 movie. They just say that they're in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Or deep south, sorry, deep south. That's what I
I was
meant.
gonna say, I think it's a southern town.
Yeet,
I don't know. I
sugar.
would assume it's like
Butter.
flower.
Wow.
No, I would assume it's like a relative, like for the reasons that you just kind of described. I think it's kind of like that small town mentality. But like, you know, growing up in rural West Virginia, there were friends of mine whose moms got hit. We didn't talk about it. You know, like it was something that we knew was happening. We knew that, you know, she only had so much agency in the situation. She could leave potentially, you know, but like it's not our business. And I think, you know, that's the way that these things are often handled. It's just you kind of like, you know, and you look away. And I'm not saying it's right.
Right.
But
It's that.
the only person that can leave the relationship is the person in the
Right.
relationship.
Yes. I also like that this show can take place at any point. Like there is, it's a t I feel like it's timeless. I feel like the show can be revived in 20 years and it'll still be poignant. It could have happened 35 years ago on Broadway and it still would
Well,
be.
John, now she doesn't even have the option of having an abortion. Now, does she? I mean, that's wild.
Oh,
Well, this is now
yeah.
sort of archaic.
This is sort of dated. Oh shit. I didn't even think
In
of.
the worst fucking way. In the worst fucking way.
I didn't even. Yeah. Yeah. And I also like that this is that she didn't automatically was like, I love being pregnant. You know, yay, mom, I'm gonna be a mom to be. Like she struggles. It shows a side of pregnancy that is not really shown as much, I feel
Yeah.
like. Where, you know, I felt like she didn't love growing a human inside of her until she actually looked at the baby and held on to it and was like, oh no, this is love. Like this is
Yeah,
what
and
I
I think
want.
that's something that's incredibly common, but like as women, you know, we are expected to just like love that process. And if you say like, you know, to the public, "Hey, this is kind of terrible. I don't like this. I feel like there's a fucking human parasite inside me." Then, you know, then you're probably going to get a
Yes.
look or two. But that is the reality of, I think, so many moms. And if we can kind of like normalize saying like, and this is from someone who's like has never gotten pregnant, has never wanted to be pregnant, will never be pregnant, God forbid. You know, like I wish we could normalize the community of just like people going through something like so traumatic and terrifying and
Emotional.
emotion, yeah, just like all the things. Like it's okay to not like this process.
Well,
It's terrible.
because I feel like in within like the last maybe decade, 5 years, that this side of the emotional state of the mindset has finally been represented. You know,
Yeah.
where prior to this, it's just like, I'm preggers. Yay. You know, am I going to keep it?
Isn't it beautiful? Aren't I glowing? Meanwhile, I've just like shot myself and have like 103 degree fever.
Well, and
Like I've developed diabetes. Like
that's also
crazy.
a great thing about Becky and Dawn, the writing of Becky and Dawn is that they're not trying to convince her. They give her that book to bond with the baby because once she keeps it, once she says she's going to keep it, they're like, maybe try this. But they're not
Yeah.
pressuring her, or they're not being like, isn't the miracle of birth amazing?
Yeah.
Motherhood is great. Because they're not moms either, so they wouldn't know.
Yeah. And they're good friends. Like
And they're great fucking friends.
that's not something a good friend should do.
Anyway, we went all over the place with this. Is there anything else you want to
We
talk about
did we even
before?
talk about the
Yes,
No,
because.
I know, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But there's so many amazing themes here. Yeah, I was being completely facetious. But like, yeah, it does like, especially now, I feel like it's really important to kind of like have these conversations. And this is a great kind of dialogue opener if you're dealing with somebody who is, you know, stalwart in their vision of how the world should be. Like to show someone something that has so much heart and humanity and say like, "Hey, can you at least consider this other perspective?"
Right.
Because it's a beautiful story.
Because even at the end, when she was holding the baby, I didn't know what she was going to do.
Yeah.
I didn't know if she was going to keep it, if she was going to give it away. Because there's that moment when she gives birth that she finally, that like, she has that moment of clarity, but it's all chaotic when you're seeing like the mother. Her mom mixing and Earl's there and other people show up. It's like a weird nightmare moment on stage, but she comes out of it and she has that moment of like, Earl, we're done. I'm keeping this baby. I love it. Perlmutter, no. Like, yeah. I'm also sad that she never got a chance to go to the contest. Like, but that's not
I
really important, I
know.
guess. Like,
Yeah, now she owns a whole restaurant.
she owns a whole, I mean, she does win in the end, but,
Yeah.
and she may have gone the next year. Who knows? You know, like,
Also, she was entering it mainly for the money. And then
yes.
she got Joe's inheritance or whatever you want to call it.
I honestly thought he was going to give her the money because somehow he knew that Earl took the money that she hid all over the house.
Yeah.
I thought he was like, here's your bus ticket. Go win that pie contest. I didn't expect it to be, you're getting the diner, which yeah. I'm like, no, no, that's an upsell. Like, that's good.
Yeah, that's even better.
Yes. Okay. Oh, and so this show came out in 2016, and I saw that it was nominated for a lot of these Tony Awards. And I just have to say this because this is the thought I had. I had to look up what won, because it was nominated for Best Musical, Best Original Score, Best Performance of a Leading Actress, and Featured Actor. This is the year that Hamilton was up for the awards. So I was like,
Oh, shit.
That's literally what I said. Because I was like, what won Best Musical in 2016? Hamilton, of course. A fucking course it did.
You know what, though? I'll say it. I like Hamilton. I do. But this is one of the best experiences that I've ever had in terms of watching a musical. I would have picked this personally. I understand it's maybe a little bit more formulaic and definitely more whitewashed than Hamilton. But in terms of just like such an amazing experience in the theater, I would give it to this. But hey, that's just me.
Yeah. The movie is even more whitewashed. Like
the 2007
movies. I looked it up and I was like, oh, all white. Got it.
Oh yeah, we are Southern in the worst way.
And on that note, let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall we?
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. I have one flat, really.
Okay.
And it's for Earl. I know, as our discussion, and I did think about this too, he is a complex character, but still. Fucking Earl.
Yeah.
When he's like, you can't leave me, I'll kill myself. I was just like, okay. And?
Best of luck, bud.
Figure it out. Do you have any...
Wait, I just want to understand. So you just dislike Earl as a character, but you think like it's still a well-written character. I'm just clarifying.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yes. Because he is an abuser, as we discussed. He's toxic, but like not in the way that we like. There's toxic masculinity within him, but it's not like being a quote unquote alpha male. It's just him. So well written, but fucking awful. So that's why I'm flatting him.
It's just.
Did you have any flats in this?
I kind of. And I don't know how to fix it because I don't write scripts or librettos. But I wish there was like a little bit better pacing for Jenna's arc, because I feel like she's beat down. She's introspective. She's coming to terms with the kid. And then it just sort of seems like at the very end, when the baby comes, like she makes all these decisions, you know, like it just happens so fast. And I know that you've been taken on a journey up to that point, but it just seems like, I don't know if there was just like more of a smoother arc with that and not just kind of like a record scratch kind of thing. And again, that's like such a petty little thing that I don't know how to fix, but I guess that would be the only thing that I was like, and something that's so, so good.
Can I pitch something to you that might help?
Yeah, please.
So that moment that I talked about, that nightmarish moment, if they expanded on that to make it like a cacophony of sound or something, but like her mom like comes through and is like, you know what to do. That like some little...
No, because that would still be just a moment that like turns her around. I want something like... more of an overarching kind of journey. Yeah.
Got it. I understand now.
Like you start to see like things poking through, like, you know, maybe something that she said to oh frick, I forget her name. Hold on. What's her name?
Becky or Dawn?
Dawn, like something she says to Dawn, like you just get this like little realization, like, oh, that could be me. You know what I mean? Like just something, little breadcrumbs along the line. So like she just doesn't like, you know, do the Cinderella spin and she's found herself. You know what I
Right.
mean?
Yes.
But again, that's very nitpicky, and I don't know how to fix it, which is probably
So
the
when you
reason why it is
stage
the way it is.
it, when
Yeah,
you stage
exactly. When I cast myself as Jenna, because I'm clearly
it.
just the right birthing age, not.
So every once in a while in this section, I have what I like to call natural. It's neither a sharp,
Unnatural,
yeah,
yes.
it's neither a sharp nor a flat, but it's still something. And in this case, it's actually both a sharp and a flat, and that is the camera work. There's some moments where I was just like, you're weird. I don't know why you're doing this. But then there are other moments I was just like, that's
Interesting.
brilliant. 'Cause the thing with stage with filmed stage productions is that now you're seeing what the director really wants you to focus on, but the director doesn't have to worry about hiding everything else 'cause now there's a camera.
Yeah.
And so that works. But in some moments when the camera's literally on stage and like up their noses and moving around and everything, I'm like,
Yeah.
I not this is fine. We don't need to see this. You don't
Yeah.
need a steady
That's
cam.
interesting. I didn't consider like a technical aspect to this situation. But yeah, it's so hard to translate something that's meant to be just like this wide spanning medium to something that's supposed to be this like tiny little enclosed space.
But there are some moments where it does work in its favor. So, and but like
Yeah.
I think for me, that is always going to be a natural when it comes to stage film stage productions, because it's like sometimes I want to see everything. But then there was a moment, I can't remember where in this, where Sarah Bareilles is in like the foreground, and then it's when she's get talking about her parents, because then in the background you see like the her mom and her dad, and they're like silhouetted but with like a red light or something like that. So it worked both cinematically and theatrically, and that's one of the ones that I'm like, yeah, you did it, you got it, woo. But then there's other times where there's a steadicam on stage that I'm like, I why. Why?
We kind of
Forget.
mentioned it already, but like I think Hamilton did it well. You know, if there was something to be emulated there, it's that particular production was filmed very, very
Very
well.
well. Yes. All right, sharps.
Oh
I.
God, the music. Oh, sorry, you go first.
No, you can go. You can fit the music, yeah.
Oh, the music. I love Sarah Bareilles as an artist. I think these songs inform the characters so much, their inner life, their actions. I am such a fucking whore for harmony, and here it's so tight and
My
it's so
God.
good, and like the fucking runs in that idea, like, and they're, oh God, the music is so good in the show, and the singers are so talented.
Does this sound like her discography, her music?
If you gave me the soundtrack and said, like, if you gave me like a short list, 1000% I could pick her out. If you asked me to draw a name from a hat, like just hearing it, I might land on it eventually, because it sounds like her music,
Got it.
100%. Like I said, a big fan. Yeah, I'd mentioned it before, but I'll just reiterate, like, just the amount of heart and beauty and realness in this piece.
Yeah.
I was sitting here trying to think of another experience where I was like that invested emotionally, and I can't think of one. Maybe Fun Home,
Oh.
or not Fun Home. Oh shoot, Next to Normal.
I was going to say next to normal. That, yeah.
The straight person's Fun Home.
Oh my goodness. I was a little more detailed with my sharps. I did
Okay.
I also did like the music, but I sharp that the orchestras on stage the whole time, because it worked. Like, they were in costume and they were part of the action and they interacted at moments. So that's always fun to me.
Yeah, I agree that with that.
I also sharp Sarah Bareilles and Christopher Fitzgerald. They were amazing. The whole cast is amazing, but
Yeah.
I wanted to sharp Sarah Bareilles because, I mean, this is her baby. And
Literally.
I did read that she released an album of some of the songs prior to the cast album came out, because she's like, this is it's mine. I want to do it before somebody
Yeah.
else sings it. And
Do you know who
Christopher.
used to do that too? Is I just found out is Andrew Lloyd Webber. He would release like pieces of music as like, you know, standalone entities to see like how popular it was, and then he would
That
write the
makes
musical.
sense. I sharp Christopher Fitzgerald because he stole the show for me as soon as he came on and sang him not leaving it. Yes, it's stalkery, but it's still it there's something about him that I was like,
Yeah.
I understand why you were like the king of Broadway.
Yeah, never getting rid of me. That's what it is. Yeah.
Never get yes. I sharped the friendship between Jenny, Becky, and Dawn, because like more of that on stage and in film and on screen and all that, please, thank you.
We love a girl group. Oh my
We love a
God,
we love a
besties.
I also, in all caps, sharped intermissionary pie. And it's after they have sex, and you're like, missionary style, missionary pie.
The play names are so clever.
So good. And then I sharped Bad Idea Reprise. I mean, all the music is great. This, though, like when Don and Augie come out and she's dressed as Betsy Ross and he comes out under the flag because, you know,
Because Fellatio.
he gets fellatio. I lost my goddamn mind. And then,
Yeah.
like, the three couples are having sex, and you're like, fuck yes. So, I mean, the staging and this whole show is amazing.
Copious copulation, we love it.
But yes,
Or
that's
corpulation, copious corpulation, right?
yes. Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist?
I actually have like a make me cry playlist. And She Used to Be Mine is absolutely on that, and it gets me 9 times out of 10. Yeah, Bad Idea is also wonderful. Soft Place to Land. Ugh. And honestly, like sometimes I will be walking down the street, and just like we did, I will spontaneously break into Sugar, Butter,
Butter, flour.
it's just so, it's so catchy.
I wrote What's Inside When He Sees Me and She Used to Be Mine. I mean,
Yeah.
the music is fantastic. I probably will listen to this album, but
Yeah.
those are the ones that I was like, oh, they had a little something something, a little something
Oh, I
extra.
want to add opening up to that actually as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
Really like that one.
I have one more question before we get to plugs. Who would you like to play in this show? You have your
I'll give
pick.
you one guess.
I mean, you said it, Jenna, but
Yeah.
I personally think you can kill Dawn,
Dawn,
like murder that role.
I am the little weirdo. I get it. I want to be the heroine, but I am the weird little second banana, and it's fine. And I agree with you.
He
I
gets a
also want
l
to be
She gets a lot of
I'm way too
stage time
old.
too.
Oh, sure. No. And like I love that vocal track as well. Like abso-freaking-lutely.
Yes.
I also wanted to play what's her face from Hairspray, the other like nerdy girl. I am now a checkerboard
Penny,
chick.
yeah.
Penny, yeah. So I love a little oddball.
And then when you get older, you can play Josephine like what June Squibb did when she was on stage.
There you go.
They changed the role for her. Like they changed the song that Take It From an Old Man to Take It From an Old Woman, I think, or old lady. But yeah. And on that note, Battles, we're done with the episode. We did it.
Woo! And
We
it
did
lasted
four
over an
times.
hour. Isn't this a
Yeah.
first?
Oh no. We talked a long time for Or the Mystic Crystal, and I said it
That's
correctly
true.
this time.
I was a bit of a gusher.
Yes. What do you have to plug or promote?
I actually do have something to promote. I am well on my way with my web series that I wrote with a fellow Arbar barbarian. I'm in a sketch comedy group. Her name is KL Thomas, and we were releasing one a week every Wednesday. The series is called Charms for Less. It no relation, I'm sure, but it follows like a kind of like feckless woman who is down on her luck finding love and is turning towards any means necessary to manifest her destiny, including the occult and Wiccanry, as it were. And
So
she
basically,
meets
this is you pleading to Sarah Bareilles to write make this a musical.
1,000%. And she meets a Wiccan who runs a shop called Charms for Less, and hilarity and heartfeltness ensues.
Actually, even better, we'll have Sarah Bareilles and Dan Avidan like
Oh
collaborate.
my God. Can Dan please play my limit? Dan
And then he gets
Avidan and real listening.
the Ninja Sex Party 80s rock style song, because that's
Oh
what
my
you need.
God,
That's what everything
you
needs.
absolutely do. I mean, I feel like, yeah, okay, one more flat. This
There's no Ninja
musical
Sex
lacked
Party.
no, I was gonna say this musical lacked a traditional 80s power ballad. But we'll forgive it. You gotta cut your darlings, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I have a feeling Sarah Bareilles wrote it and then was just like, it doesn't really fit the vibe.
Yeah,
So
she's like, oh,
we're gonna
I
tuck
love
it
it. It's such
away.
a banger, but it's gotta go.
It's gotta
Gotta
go,
go.
unfortunately. Where can the people watch the show?
Yes. So on Instagram, it's Charms for Less series. On TikTok, it's Charms for Less series. And on YouTube, it's just Charms for Less. Check it out in whatever medium you prefer.
And that's charms, the number four and
Four,
less.
yes, charms four, the number
Four
four,
less.
Less, yes.
I still have to watch it, but I have a feeling it's going to be a banger. And
Well,
hoping
the
for
other good
season
thing is
two.
like completely consumable. Like the premiere episode is like 5.5 minutes, and then nothing is really over three after that. So you can binge the whole series in under half an hour.
Nice. And then let's
Yes.
hope for a season two. Woohoo!
Fingers crossed.
And if you, I don't know, if you were in a production of Waitress, I'm assuming the rights are out, right? Like
Yeah.
community theaters and high schools can do this at this point. If you were in a production, I'd love to hear some stories. Do you have a fun, like, fumbly moment? Did you use real food? That's what I'd like to know as well. You can email me at buttersungpod@gmail.com, also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at buttersungpod. And Sarah Bareilles, if you are listening, yes.
Your
Thank
goddess.
you.
Your goddess.
You're
No, let no one tell you other words. Please don't doubt yourself.
amazing. And Battles would like to collaborate with you on this little Charms for Less.
Literally anything.
Or
You
anything
just say
else.
the word, I will do anything.
Yes, she'll spin plates on her fingers for you if you want. I don't know.
I will learn. I will absolutely learn.
And if you want to be part of the next episode conversation, well, I'm starting another monthly theme here, and I figured this was a good segue into it because we're going to be talking about the live musicals that happened on like NBC and Fox and ABC and all that. So we're starting from the beginning, which is a very good place to start.
To
And we're
start.
going to be talking about The Sound of Music Live. Yay! Yay!
Love it.
Battles, thank you so much for coming back on. We're living in
Oh,
a new era for you as a guest.
my
I love
pleasure.
this. You will be back soon, of course. And everyone, thank you for listening and bye for now.
Bye.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.